Glenn, before we get to the Leafs, I want to ask you about the Winnipeg Jets. After last night's loss in Rogers' hometown hockey, Greg Brady and Andrew Walker making the point in the morning show that maybe we ought to start lumping the Winnipeg Jets into the Connor McDavid sweepstakes. Are we there yet with them?
I think they got to get in line. Buffalo and some other teams that are desperate to get him as well. Carolina probably pushing for that. It's part of the conversation for sure, particularly when you're dealing with the West, because mm-hmm. you look at them and you say, well, they're pushing to be better, they're drafting better. A lot of the players that they could trade, no one wants. I mean, you're going to trade for Bufflin, really? Did you watch him last night? Mm-hmm. That's what you want?
Yep.
And so, okay, you put all that together. They're a ways away. They really are. And, I said this last night on the broadcast, there are three ways to improve your team. There's, through the draft, and they're doing that effectively. There's through trades. Some of the players aren't really wanted by other clubs. Or free agency. And, the fact is a lot of players don't want to go to Winnipeg if they have a plan B. And
right.
They tried to get Stastny. They offered him a big bunch of money, and Stastny said, no, I'm not going there. So it's tough for them, for sure, to improve their club. But they are on a slow incline. They watched Atlanta do the quick decline. They're on the slow incline getting up.
Glenn, I guess the big question then is, will fans... I would ask you, fans in that city are going to have patience with the team. You would think they would. They've already lost the hockey team once, and I can't imagine that people in Winnipeg are going to stop going to the games. But I'm thinking outside the actual attendance, whether it's the public discourse or things like that. Will fans be patient enough?
Oh, they will. And when they signed up for their season ticket base, when they first brought the team back, if you remember, they were not forced, but by their own choice, you had to sign up for like 5 and 10 year plans.
That's right.
And so they're not in this for, okay, I'm in for the month of October, and then we'll see what November looks like. No, they're in for the long haul. And the market there, when you look at when they left, back in the day, that was a market that wasn't in a lot of the financial sectors of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And now they are. Now they're into like a number of financial sectors. It's not just relying on oil or not just relying on commerce or not just relying on, importing or some of the other markets that are.
Right.
They're a pretty good economy and a pretty good market that has a really rabid fan base. So they're in good shape. They just need to find a way to make this kind of and ownership's on board with this. Like, so I when we get impatient and we say, okay, it's time to blow it up, they don't care. They have a game plan and they're following it. Whether we like it or not, that's another thing. But they are following their game plan from ownership.
Glenn Healy of Hockey Night in Canada joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. All right, let's shift focus to the local team. Saturday, obviously a better game.
Great
than Friday.
Game. That was a great game.
It really was. But Glenn, maybe it's because Friday's game stuck out to me so much more just from a negative point of view. But should we be concerned at all that some of the Leafs, if you want to call them their big players or their, the guys, the top two lines, the guys you expect to carry the load a lot of the way, they just seem to be taken out of the game on Friday. And yeah, there were signs on Saturday. There were signs on Saturday that they were kind of getting back into it. But at the end of the day, I think the Red Wings' best players still outplayed the Leafs' best players.
Oh, by far. And when you look at the game that Detroit played against Boston, Babcock shows up at the rink and Zetterberg's sitting in his office in the morning waiting for him to tell him, okay, I'm going to be way better. I have to be way better. I mean, I made an excuse before we played Boston and said that we looked tired. Tired for what? We didn't practice hard. We had days off. It's that mental drive that you say, okay, no matter what I feel kind of in my gut, I'm that's not what it is, and I've got to drive through it mentally, and he did, and he had a game on Friday that was spectacular with 4 points. And then got the game winner on Saturday. So he delivered, their big guys delivered. And they put him on a line with Nyquist, which is important. He, Nyquist is a star in the making and was playing with a guy by the name of Darren Helm, who's a checker in the making.
Mm-hmm.
So put the stars together, and they performed. And the Leafs, quite frankly, didn't. Friday night was and I tried to be, you know, really, really good with the scoring chances. I had five.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it's really four. Mm-hmm. Could I make it six?
Mm-hmm.
It was a dud, and it's at home, and you've got to have some compete in you, and you've got to understand, it's your fan base. You know, the difference between you and Florida, Florida's had one playoff round in 9 years, so have you. The difference is your fans care.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only difference. You could have 3,000 at your game if you really wanted, except your fans care. So if you're going to stink anywhere, stink on the road, not at home. It was a better game Saturday. They competed hard. It was a much more entertaining game. You know, bad for me. It took me about an hour across the border because of all the Leaf fans. But that being said, the result was the same. You know, they just didn't recognize the score. They didn't recognize the clock, 10 seconds left. And they didn't recognize who was on the ice at probably the most fatal moment, which is the one that gave them the 1-0 loss.
You know, Glenn, we kept hearing throughout training camp that one of the goals of the Leafs this year was to cut down the amount of shots on goal to be better in their own end. You know, we've heard that for a while, but I mean, I think with this, with Peter Horacek in particular and this staff, there was an idea that there would be some sort of a measurable statistical improvement in that. They're still giving up 30 plus shots a game. Are you seeing them do anything better defensively this year than they did last year?
I think the quality of scoring chances are down.
Mm-hmm.
The number of shots are probably about the same. I think a lot of that has to do with puck possession, how much you have the puck, you know, on your stick. The other team can't get shots if you've got the puck. It's kind of the same cast of characters, so you don't expect a dramatic increase or decrease in some of these statistical data. But I think defensively they're playing better in their own end. You know, when you kind of look at the songbook that they sang through the first bunch of games, when the big line scores, what happens? They win.
Mm-hmm.
When the big line disappears, like this weekend, they lose. So they have to get some balance in their scoring, and they have to have their big guys like Zetterberg and Nyquist did for Detroit show up and make an impact. They didn't this weekend, and as a result, didn't get the points that they needed, you know, because that's a team. You know, when you look at the teams that are in the East, you got to think that Tampa Bay's in. You got to think that, you know, probably Boston's in. You got to think that Montreal Canadiens are in. The New York Rangers are probably in. And then there's a whole group, and there's a bunch that are out, too.
Mm-hmm.
When you look in the East, you can, you know, Buffalo's not making it. Carolina's not making it. There's a bunch that are out. So there are about five teams competing for a couple spots. And you are one of those teams. And guess who else is one of those teams? Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit openly admits it. I mean, Kenny Holland said that to me on the weekend. We're one of those teams. We're on the bubble. So we've got to be better than the teams that are in that group of four or five that are competing for those last couple spots. And this weekend, check mark goes to Detroit.
The one good thing, I guess, we saw out of this weekend from the Leafs was the penalty kill. They've killed 15 in a row. Flip side, of course, the power play's over 12. But let's deal with the positive first. We're seeing, obviously, Leo Komarov, Daniel Winnick, Roman Polak, who is logging an awful lot of ice time, the penalty kill. But JVR has also contributed a little bit as well, which, you know, Glenn, we made the point with Andrew Walker and Brady before the start of my show. We were talking about the Leafs' top line, and you referred to it as well. Maybe even their second line. If they're not scoring, there's not a lot. There's not a lot they can accomplish. It's just the way they're wired. But I look at JVR, and I think of all the guys on those top two lines, he's the guy that might have something to offer beyond just goal scoring.
Yeah, and you look at this weekend, the battles with Cronwall and Erickson with him.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy who truly competed.
Yes, he did.
There was kind of epic battles that had, you know, moments where you could have called four penalties in one battle. Referees didn't. Okay, I like that. That's good. So, but he has the elements that make him good for doing some of these things. Like you talk about his PK involvement, his big long reach, big long stick, can cover lanes, is a smart player, and he can skate. And those are all elements that you need. And Winnick is the same way. Big guy, big long stick, covers a lot of the lanes. You know, Pollock competes, plays pretty hard. So there are some elements of their game that they added that have shown some pretty good improvement since the Pittsburgh game when they gave up a boatload of power play goals. And, you know, that happens against Pittsburgh a lot. Happened this weekend for Pittsburgh. So that is a positive in their game and a positive that they knew they had to improve. And that's why they went out and got some of the players that they got in the offseason. That's why those players they got in the offseason are playing way more minutes at the most critical times because they knew they had a real deficiency in that element of their game.
Glenn, we've seen the Colorado Avalanche. They went through Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. They're back home now. Semyon Varlamov is apparently expected to be back this week. I wanted to ask you about this team because, you know, Patrick Waugh is a big personality, and I think they're a team that attracts a lot of attention. Plus, they were an intriguing team last year. I look at this team right now, and, boy, I wonder if they're not poised to take a real step back this year.
Well, last year, if you watched closely how their team won hockey games, it was with stellar goaltending.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was all world, was in the conversation for Vezina. I mean, that's top three in the league, top three in the world, and he delivered. And you know, they had top six that could go out and light you up. And those top six, they committed some atrocities in their own end. But they were okay with it because they had that goaltender who said, okay, I got this one, it's okay. That's not the case this year. They're not getting that level of goaltending, and as a result, they're not, you know, getting the results on the board. They're an exciting team to watch in both ends of the ice, and that's the best way to put that club. You know, they're great when they've got the puck, and they don't have it. It's great to watch, too, because you're going to watch either a great save or a goal.
Glenn, it was good of you to do this morning. Thanks so much, as always.
It's going to be a tough week for the Leafs this week. Ooh. You have the Islanders
and Bruins.
And you're going to head into Ottawa, and that's always a battle. So this is a real telltale, kind of a litmus test for Toronto to see what they're made of.